I read a little bit of some highlights from the Thibault's newsletter, and it's at the back, so I'd encourage you to read it. They are seeking the Lord's will about adopting a child, another child. The Lord laid it upon their heart that he had another one there for him, and they met this little boy named Endurance. And I'm not sure who ended up renaming him or kind of conjoining two names, but he's now known as Simeon Endurance. So he's a little five-year-old boy. And be in prayer for them. The father gave permission, and it's just a matter of the mother giving permission, and it sounds like she lives a loose lifestyle and hard to find, so if you could be in prayer for that. Okay, these cards will be at the back later, so if you could add your signature, that would be helpful. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17, please. Proverbs chapter 17. Just a couple days ago, I managed to secure a pastor to come and preach a three-day conference in November. He was already coming up from Canada, from the States to Victory Baptist, so we can split some airfare and cut the cost down. And it's Pastor David Sorensen. Some of you might have heard his name before. He's an independent Baptist pastor and very sound, very sound. He's written a lot of books on the King James Bible, and he's also written one on the family and raising children. So I'm going to have a three-day conference, Sunday all day through regular services through Tuesday night, and that'll be November 13, 14, 15. It's in your bulletin as well. So November 13, 14, 15, and I think you'll enjoy it. So on marriage and the family. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 17. If you can find your place, and if you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's word. Okay, we're going to pick it up at, we'll read verse 7 through 9. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, that you'd help us to be very mindful of our lips. Lord, the danger of our lips, but also the blessings that we can give with good, godly lips. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to say that which would please you. And Lord, give no occasion for Satan to gossip about us, we pray. And we pray that it just helps to have this fine balance on this. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I think you may be seated. So we are looking at particularly verse 9 this morning. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. We talked about this somewhat last week. We talked about the fact that there are some transgressions you cannot cover. They are criminal in nature, and they have to be dealt with. You know, particularly you think of people that are vulnerable and people that have been abused. You don't just sweep it under the rug and if it's of a criminal nature, it has to be dealt with. But if it's something where someone has just wronged us and they've hurt our feelings, injured us in some way, it's where we have to say, okay, Lord, that did kind of hurt, but Lord, give me the strength. Help me to bear that and not to retaliate. We know that the Lord himself, as he was approaching the cross, he did not retaliate in any way. He didn't rail for rail. He was silent much of the time. And if we were to be silent much of the time, the fire would go out. I believe last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, which says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. When there's hatred between two different parties or people, it just magnifies the problem. In my mind, I've got a picture of, we were playing dominoes some time ago, and at the end of the game with Watsons, and afterwards we started playing with the pieces, and you know, when you knock them down, and they, so I did two of them, two rows together, and they went up against each other, and then went up like this, from two sides, and you know, that can be kind of the same sort of thing with hatred, stirring up strife. They build up and they smack each other in a sense, right? And instead, love covers strifes, where we can show love to a person, not respond in that same way. And invariably, at some point in time, may not be right away, but if we respond in love to someone who is hateful against us, that person will be convicted. And the Lord even convicts the unsaved. He works in their heart. I mean, the Holy Spirit is there to convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And when somebody wrongs us and we respond in the right way and we demonstrate love to them, that speaks volumes as far as our strength as a believer. Of course, that strength comes from the Lord. But it speaks volumes to our Savior. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We're to have that charity, because charity will... It's good for not just one sin, but a multitude of sins. And we know that that charity passage in 1 Corinthians 13... We need to review that from time to time, to see what charity truly is, and examine ourselves to see whether we have a charitable spirit. Read you some quotes here about talebearing, gossip, and in the second half of this verse it says, "He that repeateth a matter separateth very or true friends." John Newton. He said, "The art of spreading rumors may be compared to the art of pin making. There is usually some truth, which I call the wire. As this wire passes hand to hand, one gives it a polish, another a point. Others make and put on the head, and at last the pin is completed." You know, this gossip gets passed on from one hand to another. It gets built up into something that it isn't. He says here, the truth is, he says, I'm going to compare the truth to that rod, but everyone else, they add to it. And often, there'll be times where sometimes gossip does come from an actual, there is something there. You know, you think of that phrase, I think it's very true, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, people smell the smoke, they see some, and so they start to make up their own conclusions, and they start to fabricate and start to build on it. And I've had times like that, and I've mentioned this before, where at work, where some extravagant rumors had gone about as far as what our boss was going to do, and you know how they're going to change the business, and. Instead of just listening to this and telling someone else that rumor, I just went to the boss and said, "Is this true?" And I wasn't trying to be a mole or and tell the boss, "Okay, this is what they're saying about you," but rather it was like, "Okay, I just need to know. I need to know this from the horse's mouth. Is this true? Is this happening? Because this is the rumor going about." And I mean, I remember this one time he just had a fit of laughter. I mean, he just said, "Wow, that's funny. No, we certainly aren't doing that." And so there was no truth to that one. Amy Carmichael, famous missionary to India, she said, "If I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, or if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary's love." And you know, we all think of that about that when, as far as the words we use, even as she said, the thoughts we think of someone else, slighting someone else. Another person, I'm not familiar with this person, he said, perhaps we have been guilty of speaking against someone and have not realized how it may have hurt them. Then when someone speaks against us, we suddenly realize how deeply such words hurt, and we become sensitive to what we have done. A theologian from the 1600s said, learn to hold thy tongue. I like this. He says, five words cost Zacharias 40 weeks of silence. Five words. You know, when Zacharias doubted that when the angel said, you're going to have a son. And he said, is that possible? Okay, let's take a look at some. We're going to go into Leviticus and work our way through into the New Testament, looking at some verses on the subject of talebearing. So Leviticus chapter 19. Some of these verses are injunctions against talebearing, and some of them are verses that speak about how it can injure. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Second half, they're talking about more along the lines of if your neighbor is in danger, and possibly in danger of injury or even death, you have a duty to protect them. But we're paying attention to the first half of this verse. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So given a straight command from the very beginning, from the time of Moses, not to traverse up and down. And people usually aren't, if they get the gossip talebearing bug, they're not usually just happy just to tell one person. They tell one person, and then they're like, well, that person that I just told is now going to spread the rumor, and this is my news. I got to get it out before they tell it. And so then it just, you know, it compounds, and they tell others. Now let's jump ahead into Psalms chapter 15. Psalms chapter 15, and here we see some of the consequences of being a talebearer and the consequences of not being a talebearer. Psalms chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So he asks this question, who will ascend into thy holy hill? Or who will dwell in thy holy hill? Who will abide in thy tabernacle? And the point there being that we cannot be duplicit. We cannot hope to get into the secret place of the Most High, spend time with the Lord in intimate prayer and fellowship, if we are backbiting, if we are talebearing, if we're hurting someone, if we're saying things that we ought not to say. So, on the alternative side, we see that if we do abstain from those things, if we do walk uprightly, if we work righteousness, we speak the truth in our heart, then we will be able to abide in his tabernacle and to dwell in his holy hill, be in fellowship with the Lord. Let's jump ahead to Psalms chapter 34, verse 13. Psalms 34, 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Now, some of these verses aren't specific to talebearing, and they're more general to the tongue itself and what we say, whether it be for good or for evil. In this case here, that is the case. It is one of those generic, general verses. We're told here to keep thy tongue from evil. Keep it. You say, well, I think all of us can say that, especially in our youth, maybe, where there was times when we'd open up our mouth and say something like, oh, why did I say that? And as we get older in the Lord and get more mature spiritually, we get to say, okay, Lord, put that protection around my tongue. And you think back to Proverbs 4:32. It talks about keep thy heart with all diligence. And we talked about the keep, that stronghold within a fortress. Guard it, you know, with the walls, the place that would be the strongest place. And how, in the same way, I mean, keep, it's that same word. Keep thy tongue. Put that gate around it. Think through what you say. Think through the consequences of those words. And you know, that's where, as believers, we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where if we are about to say something and we're like, oh, I'm just not sure if this is a good thing to say. Then you go, oh, I don't know. And then you pray about it and you say, okay, Lord, maybe this isn't the right thing to say. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe this is not the right person. Maybe I'm not the right person to say this. That's where you got to listen to that still small voice. Keep thy tongue from evil. Okay, let's jump into Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So this talebearer, they find secrets, they learn things, whether they see it with their eyes, whether they hear it, whether they are just reproducing gossip that they heard and maybe adding a little bit of zing to it. But they're then moving that on. I think of a story during the Second World War where the British did an ingenious operation, and I won't go into all the details, but they produced a massive fraud, and they convinced the Spanish officials and then the Germans that this body that they found was that of a British ranger who had on his person the plans for the next great operation that they were going to do. And these plans made their way into the hands of the Germans, and they altered their reaction. They said, well, that doesn't make any sense. The British are going to land here. This is the most logical place. But then they got these plans, and they're like, okay, I guess. And then they started, the British started adding corroborative feedback or evidence to kind of make that information look accurate. And then some of the Germans started getting on board. And then they started adding to their own. And see, the British, they had the Enigma, so the code breakers, breaking machine. And they could listen in on it, and they could tell how effective their propaganda was. And so they're feeding information to the Germans, and then they're seeing how the Germans are taking that information, and they're adding to it. They're spicing it up. And then they're sending it on to the Führer. And then he bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. Well, that happens with people sometimes too, where a talebearer, they reveal secrets, and then they add a little bit of cayenne to it. They spice it up. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Again, being very clear, We don't conceal criminal activity. We have to report it. But when it's of a nature of a someone's hurt our feelings, they've said something mean, nasty. Maybe it's about our children. Maybe it's about our aunt, our favorite aunt. Whatever the case might be, we just conceal it. We say, you know what? I forgive them. And maybe it's something that needs to be dealt with. Maybe they need to go to that person and say, you know what? I forgive you, but you really injured me there. And I'm afraid that this is going to hurt our relationship. So the faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Let's jump into the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. That prudent man covereth shame. Remember that the prudent person is the one that is wise, that foresees the danger. And the prudent person says, you know what? I foresee the danger. I see what could happen if I respond in an ungodly way here, or if I make known this, I'm just going to cover it. I'm going to cover that. Into Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That's very similar to the verse that we're based out of right now, Proverbs 17:9. So Proverbs 16:8, a froward man, the man that's walking against God, away from the Lord, soweth strife. He's like, he's sowing these seeds. And sometimes people, they learn how you might call it the satanic art of sowing strife where they can drop a word, and they can basically use other people as their pawns, and they can sit back without dirtying their fingers. They are dirty, but they have the appearance of being clean. And they can incite a war between people, and they're just in the background laughing. So the froward man soweth strife. He's sitting there throwing his seeds. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. Let's never be a whisperer. Why do people whisper? I mean, sometimes it's appropriate to whisper, you know. The other day I whispered to my wife. I said, you know, we need to have so-and-so over to our house this week sometime. That was okay. But as far as like, hey, I got to tell you about so-and-so. You know, they're whispering because they know that what they're saying is wrong. They would never say that in front of that person to their face. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. That's verse 18. Verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down in the innermost parts of the belly. So we're looking at the danger and what happens when a person bears a tale. And they backbite. Now, on the other token, the other side of this, so we're looking at how destructive talebearing is. Now, for the believer, if we've been hurt, that's where we have to offer that forgiveness. And we have to say, you know what, I forgive them. You know, maybe they didn't understand how sensitive this is to me. Maybe they didn't understand some of the pre-existing hurt that I've already had in this area. You know, and sometimes people can be very unobservant. And they'll say things that they have no intention of hurting anybody. I'll tell you a story, and it's just more kind of funny. It's not being critical in any way. I can't remember. I think it was maybe when Emily was expecting with Eva. She was, I don't know, she was very far into the pregnancy. And I remember I mentioned something to Jacob about about you know, that pregnancy was going well or something like that. And he stopped and he looked at him and he goes, "You're expecting again?" And she was like, I was like, "Oh, how observant." You know, and people can be that way, right? I don't blame him. I mean, not at all. But people can be that way. People can be unobservant, and they can just say things, and sometimes, depending on the situation, in that case, it was funny. But and sometimes it's not, and it hurts. And what we don't realize is, you know what? They meant nothing by it. Maybe they're just unobservant. They didn't catch some factors there. Didn't realize that it was a sensitive area for us. And again, we fall back on great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the wounds of a talebearer the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Okay, and I can tell you from experience that I've, you know, especially when I was a lot younger, I used to take things very personally, and you know, it things would wound me, and so I'd have to, you know, have to go to the Lord and, you know, forgive that person. And so we got to be careful. Not what we say, how we respond. So moving ahead to Proverbs 26, verse 20. Familiar verse to many of you. "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Take away the wood pile. Remove the wood pile. When somebody comes to you, "Oh, I got to tell you about Brother Steve." You know, and or brother Bob or whoever, right? And you say, "You know what? I hope this is good. I hope this is edifying." You get that sixth sense that says, something doesn't sound right here. And you kind of stop him in the middle, and you say, "Just want to be clear. I want to make sure that this isn't gossip. Is this good? Is this wholesome?" And by doing that, you're removing the wood pile. You're taking the wood away. And they're like, "Oh." And they will become convicted usually. Or make some excuse. "Well, you know, I just need to tell you because we need to pray for Brother Steve." You know, whoever the case might be. So we need to remove the wood pile. So where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So let us not be talebearers. And if someone comes to us talebearing, then we gotta be so careful. It can be a tricky one sometimes. What is talebearing? And you know, sometimes a person is like, "I just need advice, I need counsel on how to deal with this situation. Is this gossip?" And if they're going to the right person, and they're going with the right spirit, then if they're really going for counsel, and they're not just wanting to unleash a burden or unleash a, you know, a torrent on somebody, then likely it is not talebearing. So we aim to get rid of the wood pile so that no talebearing can continue. Another verse in this same chapter is, let's read here, 21 and 22. "As coals to burning coals, and as wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." You think of coals, one coal here that's sitting over here by itself, and it's kind of starting to dwindle, but you put the two coals together, and you know, that's an illustration of believers. Like, you can use it as an illustration for good or for bad. And that's an illustration of believers when you where if you have one believer that's out of the fold, but you put them together and they can do so much more for the Lord. But on the same token, you can use it as an illustration for talebearing. So if you just like a burning coal to another burning coal, it actually exacerbates the fire, makes it greater. "And wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds." this is almost mirrors, if it's not identical, it sounds very exact. It's very close to the, Proverbs 18:8 that we just read. The wounds of a talebearer are as wounds that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Just again, underscoring how dangerous talebearing is. I got my verses out of sync here. You don't have to turn, I'll just read it for you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Those that are ungodly will often flatter you, and they'll say all kinds of good things about you. And then you might overhear them saying something very uncomplimentary about you to someone else. Or you get it through the grapevine. You find out that really they don't love you. They don't care for you. They're just building you up in your face, but behind your back they're stabbing you. This is not becoming behavior of a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tenderhearted. Instead of being that way, we're supposed to be kind, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Okay, jumping ahead to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. For if he will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Again, this is more general to how we use our tongue. And then we won't turn there right now, but you think of James chapter 3. It speaks about the tongue being a member that is a fire, a world of iniquity, set on fire of hell. As Christians, we're not to give occasion for gossip. Think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They might speak of us as evildoers, but we don't go and carry them any wood. We don't give them any occasion to legitimately speak evil against us. We are to live this conversation honest, again, meaning more than just a verbal communication, but our whole lifestyle. Our whole lifestyle is to be open and transparent and honest among the unbelievers. So what are some areas, some reasons why a person might be tempted to gossip about someone else? Number one, it feeds our sinful flesh to think that we have the inside scoop. It also feeds our sinful flesh to think that we're better than that other person. And by having a juicy story that nobody else has, all eyes or ears are focused on us, putting us in the spotlight. So then we have to ask ourselves, what is the difference between spreading good news and telling gossip? Or spreading prayer requests and telling gossip. One thing we have to ask ourselves is this intended for public knowledge? And, you know, this could be, it could be someone that has a medical problem that is of a personal or private nature. And where we hear about it, and maybe they tell us, and And so we want to be so careful. Okay, is this private? Is this personal? And that's where we ask the person. And I've tried to get into the habit of always asking, is this a prayer request that I can bring before the church family? I mean, many things come to me. I become aware of many things, and I try so hard to ask, is this something I can bring before the church family? Is this something we can pray for you about? So you have to ask, is this private or is this personal? Someone might say, you might notice that you get your suspicions. Oh, someone is expecting. I remember, when we were just getting ready to sort of let people know about that we were expecting here again, and we had the shells over that some time ago, and I was like, oh, I got caught. I got caught frying an egg for my wife. Kyle came upstairs. I'm like, oh boy, he's going to know. Any husband is going to know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. But, and of course, in that situation, there was nothing ill. But, sometimes we can see something and we can become aware of. And so we, of course, made it public pretty soon after that. But, we can become aware of a situation. Maybe it is someone that's expecting, and we have to, and they might tell us, yeah, I'm expecting. And that's where we say, oh, great, congratulations, whatever else. And then we say, is this public news, or is mom the word? And so we learn to ask, okay, is this public? Is this private? Sometimes there's things where someone's life is at risk. I think of a situation where I helped get a student a practicum, an EMT practicum. I wasn't the practicum coordinator, but I helped a student get a practicum in this service. And while she was down there, she went through some. It really wasn't for her. The pressure was not for her. The preceptors were excellent. They were my old preceptors, and I know them. And one of them's a believer. But she could not handle the pressure of it, and she was very close to taking her own life. And she told a friend, and the friend sat on that for 2 weeks before saying anything. And in that situation, that would have been good to have said, you know what? I'm not holding yours. I cannot keep your secret. I am sorry. You just told me something that concerns me greatly. I have to go to the either you deal with this, or I'm going to go to the appropriate people and deal with this. Unfortunately, she had not followed through with anything, and she was rescued. But so if someone's life is at risk, then, we're not going to be tight-lipped. We need to go to the right person and deal with it. So some of the ways in which we can distinguish between what is gossip and what is not gossip. Someone asked me this last Wednesday night, what about telling if someone's got saved? Is that gossip? I said, no, that's not gossip. That's good news. So, okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to manage our tongues aright. Lord, that we would be so careful about what we say, what we don't say. And we pray that we would not be talebearers. And Lord, if someone comes to us with a tale, Lord, if it needs to be acted upon, that we would do it in the right way. If it doesn't, Lord, that we would remove the wood, that we would quench that as soon as we can, and maybe even reprove that person, depending on the circumstances. Lord, help us to treat each other with love, kindness, and if they wrong us, forgiveness. We pray that you go before us as we get ready to have our morning worship service now, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you can take a 5 or 6 minute break before the morning worship service.